reading to you from Hebrews, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for Him and how you have shown your love to Him by caring for other believers as you still do. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Oh, friends, listen. This past week, I've been so excited, I can't really stand myself. Oh, I had the privilege of leading a couple people to Christ, alcoholic and a woman who has MS. And we saw 15 people give their hearts to Christ in prison. And this Sunday, we have 3 more services. Thank you, dear ones, for your prayers. Oh, you don't know how it keeps us going. And I do appreciate it. Well, why don't you kick off your sipper, sit back and relax. Pour you a cup of coffee or a glass of iced tea. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Malachi in the first chapter and the beginning with the first verse. The word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, said the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? The Lord says, yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated, and I have turned his mountain into a wasteland, and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes, and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priest, who shown contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? You place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Almighty God? We've labeled this message, Questions from the Heart of God. First question we ask, who was Malachi, and what was his mission? Well, we know this much. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets. See, after Malachi, there was 400 years of total silence. No one heard anything from God. Now, Malachi's first message is one of God's love, and I read the word of the Lord in Israel through Malachi, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Well, God is always reaching out in love to lost and backslidden people. Friends, you remember me telling you last year, a year ago, when I had my cancer operation. Had it not I had this cancer operation, I would have never met this young man, Kevin. And he called me. Said, I understand that you've had a drinking problem. I said, I sure did many years ago, but I don't now. He said, I have one now. I'm losing my business, my home, and everything that I possess. Would you be kind enough to talk to me? I said, most assuredly. You come down to my home and we'll sit down. He came down and he sat down in my living room, and I don't think it was 15 minutes, and tears were streaming down his cheek. And I said, would you like to trust the Lord today, Kevin? He got down on his knees and he wept and he cried out and he told God he was a miserable sinner and he was sorry for his sins. And he invited Christ into his heart. Boy, howdy. That man lit the ground running and his business started picking up. He got paying his bills off. And he was doing real good for 11 months. Never had any drinking problem, no nothing. But I was kind of concerned about him. His lack of concern for others kind of bothered me. Well, what he did what a lot of alcoholics did. They thought they could handle it on their own, and so he went out and got a bottle of vodka and drank the whole thing. Well, he ended up in jail. Well, they gave him 90 days in jail and a work release where they could go out and work in the daytime, come back at prison at night. Well, while he was in prison, he met a man of Mexican descent, and he started telling him what the Lord did for him. And he told him about me. So he told John, he said, John, why don't you give Cecil Moe a buzz? He'll talk to you. I don't care. He'll talk to you. Well, friends, the other day I had the privilege of witness to him. And witness, of course, I've been talking to him for 3 or 4 weeks now. And I talked to him, and finally on the phone I said, Johnny, would you like to come to Jesus tonight and get rid of this monkey on your back? And he said, I would. And he prayed to receive Christ. Well, my wife and I, we took a bunch of groceries up to him and his family. We knew they were really having a hard time. He hadn't been working because he'd been in prison. And I met his wife. She's 40 years old, and she has MS real bad. And she just barely can walk with a cane. And she sat down there while he was unloading the groceries out of our car. And I said to her, I said, ma'am, I said, can I ask you a personal question? If you were to die today, where would you go? Well, she said, I wouldn't go to heaven. But I said, would you like to go to heaven? Oh, yes, I would. And I had the privilege of sharing Christ with her, and she, too, gave her heart to Christ. Now, friends, we stayed there about an hour or so, and when we left, I'm telling you, that lady looked angelic. It just a transformation of that hard look on her face and a look of contentment and peace. See, we have to love people in order to win people. If you don't love people, you can't win people. Now, here was Malachi's first message of God's love. I have loved you, saith the Lord. See, God is ever reaching out in love to lost and backslidden people. Malachi poses questions from God before prophetic voices cease. Now, in verse 6, he said, I am a father, where is my honor? Well, father, what a good word. Oh, listen. I loved my dad when I was a little boy, and I looked up to him. I thought he was the strongest man in the whole world. He used to be a wrestler, and he was strong, and I wanted to be just like him. And I know when they would go out and they'd get their harvest done, and God, and my dad would say, God is so good. He gave us a wonderful harvest, and I want to be like him. Well, you see, a father loves and provides. Now, also, a father remains faithful when others desert us. Children suffer when there is no father in the home. And you know, if you watch sports, and I love football and basketball, have you noticed that most black people, most of these superstars, were raised with a godly grandmother? They didn't have a father, and her mother, maybe she was a drunk or something. But people really suffer when there's no father in the home. Well, how is God our Father? Well, we read on Mars Hill, Paul said that we are his offspring through creation, Acts 17:21. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. We become God's spiritual children by receiving Christ. And I read in John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Well, listen. We honor our Heavenly Father by honoring his Son. And I read in John 5:23, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. We must honor our Father with our lives, not just with lip service. Mark 7:6, he replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but with their hearts are far from me. What a shame. What a terrible shame. And the Bible said we honor, we can honor our Father with our substance. And I read in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. And then in Malachi it says, bring the whole tithe unto the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you may not have room to receive it. Now that is absolutely true, friends. For every man and woman that ever met Jesus, if they would just learn, excuse me, learn that tithing is of the Lord. No, I don't have to tithe to get to heaven. In fact, the matter's, friend, you can't buy honor with the money to the Lord, because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I tell you something, you can't buy salvation. Why would you try to buy it when it's free? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You see, he stands with outstretched arms. He's waiting for you to come to him. You say, well, Cecil, I go to church and I read my Bible and shoot, I even mass a blessing once in a while at the table. Well, that's fine and I appreciate that, but it's more than that. Churchianity is not Christianity. No, it's what? No, I don't mean that. I mean in the way I'm sounded. Churchianity and Christianity are different, because you can go to church. See, salvation is not, religion is man-made, but salvation is God-made. Now he said, if I am a master, where is my fear? Verse 6, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priest, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? You place defiled food on my altar. You remember the two boys in the garden, the brothers, the children of Adam and Eve? One gave a gift to the Lord, and God honored it. The other one gave a gift to the Lord, and he rejected it. And what did the young man do? He went out and killed his brother. He sure did. Cain killed his brother. Master is a word of dedication, a disciple's word. Now, fear is respect, reverence, and surrender. Listen, the disciples followed Jesus and called him master. Following Christ reveals that we regard him as our master. We follow him because we respect and reverence him. Now, Paul called himself a servant of Jesus Christ, Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Did you know, friend, if you know Jesus, if you're born again, you have been set apart? He's given you one talent to start out with. Are you using it? You say, well, I'm so unhappy, sees I can't find a place to work in the church, and the pastor don't like me in the Sunday school. Hey, listen, don't give me that stuff. Don't give me that stuff. If you're right with God, he's going to open a door for you. But are you available? Are you on call 24 hours a day? When I left that Johnny's place, the little Mexican fellow led to Christ, I said, my phone is open 24 hours a day. You say, I don't believe it. It sure is. I mean, I'd like to get up in the middle of the night and talk to some old drunk, but I'll do it, or an alcoholic, or a drug addict, or anybody. That's what we need to be. We need to be available and be on call 24 hours a day. In the Navy, we used to have watch 4 hours a day. And if we had the mid-watch from midnight to 4 in the morning, we got to sleep in 1 hour. But we had to be available for service. If you're sick, you can't be available. But, hey, you know what? I've had some wonderful times witnessing to people in the hospitals when I was in for operation. I sure did. Well, if you offer sick and blind animals as a sacrifice, is it not evil? Read verse 8. It says, when you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Well, no, of course he wouldn't. And the priests were polluting the altar with inferior sacrifice. They offered lame, sick, and blind lambs. These were not only sacrifices at all. They weren't. They were nothing. Most seriously, they did not picture the coming perfect Lamb of God. Now, it's evident that these understood not the meaning of the sacrifice as shadows forth the unblemished Lamb of God. Now, Christ was to be the spotless Lamb of God. Now, he says, Christ was to, and I read this in 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. God has given his best for us. The least we can do is give our best for him. Now, these three questions still thunder from the throne. They reveal both the compassion and holiness of God. Let me ask you, what is your answer to these questions from the heart of God? Will you respond to them with a broken heart over sin? Will you present yourself as a living sacrifice to your loving Father? Romans 2:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is his good and pleasing and perfect will. You know, I've said this. The smartest Christians in the whole world are those who seek the divine will of God. You say, Cecil, look, I've been listening to you for a long time, and I get kind of upset with you because you're always talking about soul winning and witnessing. But, friend, listen to me. Read the Bible. We are to be witnesses everywhere we go. And I told you the other day, my wife my wife and I was headed for the prison. I said, we better stop for lunch first, and then we don't have to have lunch afterwards. We stopped at this restaurant, and this young waiter, a young fella, nice clean young guy, and I said, son, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you this right now. God loves you, and the reason I know God loves you is because he loved me, and I was no good. And I was in the gutter of sin. And one night, I came to Jesus as a little child. Just like Jesus told Nicodemus, she must be born again. And that day, that night, that pastor, loving pastor, told me of the love of God. And then how Christ really loved us and died for us. And I couldn't understand. Pretty soon he said, Cecil, God does not love your sin, but he loves you personally as a sinner. Well, that changed the whole picture. And that morning, knowing no theology, absolutely knowing nothing about the Bible, I knelt there and I told the Lord that I truly was sorry for my sins, and I invited Christ into my heart. Now, he changed me that moment. I mean, God took away my drinking. Shortly after that, I gave him my cigarettes. I didn't want to, but I did, and I'm so glad I did. Now I'm on oxygen 55 years later. But the thing is, my wife did not feel that way. She did not feel that she was a sinner. She lived a good life. She was a good person, really. Didn't cuss, drink, or smoke. That was the only sin, as far as she was concerned, in the world. But she got under the gospel, and she kept telling me, she kept watching me, what made Cecil quit drinking like that? What made him quit? What was going on? And I was so happy. For the first time in my life, I had real Christian friends. Oh, I loved our church, and I loved our pastor and our Sunday school teacher. And they used to invite us over to their home for dinner. They'd come to our place and pray with us and read the Bible with us. All friends, my drinking friends, never did that for me. All they wanted was my money. Well, you say, Cecil, listen, you make a good argument. Well, let me ask you, are you a lost church member tonight? You've been going to church for years, but yet you have never confessed to the Lord that you're a sinner, and you've never invited him into your heart. I urge you tonight, if you have a tugging at your heart, this will be maybe the last time the Holy Spirit of God will ever speak to your heart. And you can only be saved if he draws you. If you're ready and you got that tug, bow your head with me right now and pray this powerful sinner's prayer. God, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my wayward life. Lord, the best way I know how tonight, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Now, you say, Cecil, I don't understand what you're talking about. Call me. If you can't afford to call me collect. I'll talk to you. I am concerned. I'm not after your money. I'm not a money-grabbing preacher. Oh, no, I'm not. Well, listen. Phone number is 303-471-8534. And, dear friend, I am waiting for your call.